Dobro došli u Deskmates, vaš eurovizijski podcast. I'm Robbie, I'm your Croatian host.
Oh, you wish. I'm Ken, and I'm still the Swedish host here.
Yeah, no, yeah. Always have been.
Always have been.
Didn't you know about this? I'm Croatian.
Yeah.
Very Croatian heritage.
Croatian by
desire.
By desire. Yeah.
Not by birth. By desire. Yeah, because pretty clickbaity headline of last episode, Croatia wins Eurovision 2024. But I'm very confident in that song. But as proven in previous years, things that our listeners won't know, because this is the first year we're doing this podcast, I historically am very bad at predicting the winner.
Yeah.
So,
but at least you're in line with the odds this year.
Okay.
Yeah. Because they are actually getting a bit ahead of Ukraine now. So last week when we talked about this, they were head to head. And now they are ahead of them.
So just to explain, that was Croatian in the intro. It was my best effort. We do actually have listeners in Croatia, according to the statistics. I don't know how many.
Of course, since you wrote that
before.
Name of,
okay. Before. Okay. I checked. From before that, there were actually Croatian listeners. So I hope I didn't butcher that, but thanks.
I couldn't even say the title to Tai Chi's song last week. So yeah, good.
Yeah.
Really good.
And yeah, I mean, we dedicated the longest episode yet to Croatia. So hopefully you can appreciate how much we appreciate you. Housekeeping, Ken.
Okay, what have you done?
The only housekeeping I have for this one is we had an Instagram DM from someone asking a question. Do we listen to the songs in the podcast? And I replied and said, yes, we do. We listen to 15-second snippets. And they said, I'm one of those hardcore fans that doesn't want to hear the songs before the contest.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is something I hadn't even considered.
Yeah.
So to me, there's a binary that you can be. You can either be a person like the average Brit that doesn't pay any attention and maybe is forced to watch the final by a foreigner, or you are all in like we are now, and you listen to them as soon as you can. I hadn't considered that you could be a big Eurovision fan but intentionally not listen to the songs beforehand.
I think that's something, I think it's a bit weird, sorry. But the thing is, like, of course, before, when there was no internet and things like that, it was harder to get hold of these songs. But I was religiously watching the pre-show that SVT had, that they send the videos on TV, so I got to know the songs before. So it's just, I mean, Melodifestivalen is another thing, and we will soon talk more about Melodifestivalen, but that was one night you could never hear the songs before. So I understand where some people are still holding to that they don't want to listen it during the weeks, they just want it on Saturday.
Yeah.
But for Eurovision, I don't know why people want to do that. I think it loses a bit of the experience, doesn't it?
But
if you're a fan.
Yeah, I understand for a fan, but is it not that the average viewer of the final probably hasn't heard the songs before?
Yeah.
And so you're trying
you want to be an average viewer, even if you're not.
Because the songs should work the first time you hear them see them, right?
I mean, it's nice. It's just like, I think 99% of the experience I have with Eurovision is before.
Yeah.
It's the thing that we talk about now. It's the pre-parties that we go to, is to follow it on the odds and these other things, what's happening. But yeah, sure.
But then
everyone
on
its own.
This person is asking the question to a podcast, so they're clearly looking to listen to podcasts that talk about Eurovision, but they just don't want to hear the song.
No.
So even if we described in intimate detail, like we did with Croatia, you know, it's got rock elements and it's got electro and you know, it's very folky. They're like, they might have a picture in their head, but then they're still pleasantly surprised when they hear it on the night. Yeah. For the first time.
They can listen to the podcast as I do, like in 2.5 of the speed, because then they get like 3 seconds of the song. So they won't be like able to hear anything.
Yeah.
So I recommend that.
I think you're a psychopath, and let's move on. Moving on. Melodifestivalen week 5, aka the worst week in Melodifestivalen history, in my opinion. Where can we even start, Ken?
I don't know, dude. Didn't you like the songs at least?
I liked a song. Can I say?
Okay, that's good. At least, yeah.
Let's start with the headlines. The two songs that went through. Straight to the final was Marcus and Martinus. So Marcus and Martinus, for those who don't know, are a Norwegian pop duo of identical twins that have competed in Melodifestivalen at least once before.
Once, just.
Yeah, last year with a song called Air.
Yep.
That was very familiar sounding pop song, you know, a little bit Justin Timberlake-esque, you know, it was fine. And they came out this year with an ironically titled song called Unforgettable, which I have instantly forgotten. And I won't be the first straight white man to have said that, but it did nothing for me. I know you have a different opinion.
I have a different opinion of that, yeah. It's interesting. I mean, I was following you and some other friends of us in a chat group, how evil you were to these twins. You have twins. You should be nice to twins.
Yeah, it's mine aren't identical. And also, mine don't look like they were failed clones of Stephen Gately.
One thing that I love with Max and Martinez is that they are stars for real. People were, I mean, there were girls standing outside the arena like 5-6 hours every day. Mm. Just like they to want to see them go in. And then they was just standing there for like hours. And then they came out like in the evening when they had done the rehearsal and something. And then for that short like look of it, the hotel had to be like closed down. So we had to show, I mean, I didn't stay at that hotel, but I had to go in and out to meet people. So I had to like give an ID every time. So I wasn't like a crazy fan going in. So it's another level just to understand how big they are. And I mean, they were kids. They were very young when they broke through in Norway. And they had like some huge hits. And then I think they disappeared a bit from Norway. I don't think they are as big in Norway as they are here now. I think we have like embraced them a bit more. But people are like, why are they coming here from Norway? And it's like, I don't really care about that. The songwriters are Swedish. We are famously writing songs for other countries. So I don't really mind. I'd say, and they also brought the best stage show of the year, which I really love. I love when people put some effort into things. I mean, that costs as much as Loreen's staging did last year. And I mean, that's the level I want when I watch Melody Festival and whatever the song is. Is it my favorite this year? Maybe not. Is it good enough for win? Yes, absolutely. I will gladly stand behind Marcus and Martinez if they go there, even if it's not my favorite to win.
Yeah, I mean, it's... To be clear, I'm just a jealous old man in his almost 40s in these two, you know, very sought after 22-year-old men. So, yeah, putting that aside, the song is fine. I do think it's forgettable, genuinely. Like, I can't remember how it went. I thought the staging was good, but I prefer Cassiopeia if we're talking about just impact in terms of Melody Festivalen. The other thing is, at this point in the game, we now have the majority of the songs for Malmö. And so I'm not comparing the songs anymore to other Melody Festival songs.
Yeah.
I'm comparing them to the rest of the world. And it just, to me, that's not a winner of the whole thing.
But we don't want a winner this year. So I guess that's also why I'm not really that bothered.
Okay.
I mean, the two last years I've been so engaged in what I want to win. And they both did win. Now, I mean, I'm fine with a lot of them. And we can talk about that in detail. It's not like this is going to go better than the other, because I don't think we have a winner. I think we have some of them that can be top 10 with the competition that's there.
Yeah.
At least, I mean, as much as I wanted Fröken Snusk to be there, there's nothing there now that has like the humor aspect of it or like fun or like, I mean, Cassiopeia isn't fun in that aspect of like trying to grab attention of just being outrageous. I don't think Fröken Snusk was either, because that's her thing. So, but I mean, in difference to some other countries, Hello Finland, we didn't go for that route at least. On the other hand, I mean, I have talked to my friends out in Europe, and they're asking me like, why are everything so slick? Why is it everything so soulless? And I honestly think it's very Swedish. Like when we do music, the music that we send out, I mean, if you see what Sweden done the best, it's like we're doing like The Weeknd and Ariana Grande, all this music that are on the lists is Swedish, and it's hits and it's big, but it's not like filled with soul, if you understand what I mean. And with soul, I don't mean soul music. I mean like something there that's original or whatever.
Yeah.
And of course, this is the Melody Festival version of what Swedes do. And when we don't have a Loreen or a Cornelia who can put that soul into a song that could be whatever with another artist, so we just have artists like Max Martinus or Danny or Maria Sur or Jacqueline, whatever, which are great artists, but they are not like, there's not like an ID there in the voice or their artistry. That's what we get in Sweden. I mean, we're like the opposite of Portugal, which always are 100% soul and not very much songs.
Yeah, I can't wait to talk about Portugal, because they had two of my favorite songs in the recent years, but that's next week.
Yeah.
So going from soulless pop twins to very much, I think, a song that had a lot of soul, Medina, the other finalists.
Yeah.
So love them or hate them, you can't deny that those boys, they bring a lot of energy, and we talk about authenticity. Like, I can't help but feel that that's exactly the music that those two guys listen to.
Yeah, sure.
I mean,
I think you can say that for Marcus and Martinus also. I mean, it's not like they are, I mean, there's a reason why they're doing 2016 kind of house pop, because they think they okay. want to do that club music. Because I've asked that question, like, why are we not, you know what I feel about the 2016 house tunes that has to be in every Maleficent song. I don't know why, but yeah, that's the music they want to do. And of course it's the same with Medina is now number one and it's with the Spotify shot, which is like a, what do you say, like it's a temperature thing the yeah. day after, I mean, when all the songs have been released,
yeah.
which one goes the highest. At Medina won that battle, and for many people that's the battle you want to win.
Yeah, so just to briefly, very briefly explain, every week the two that go to the final, they can't release their songs yet, but the two that go to the second chance, they yes. can release their songs. And that's how we knew Fröken Snusk yeah. and Gunilla and
Lia Larsson
were all very popular in Sweden. Now that we have the finalists for Melodifestivalen, all the songs are released, and the top of the charts was Medina.
Yep.
Now, that was also the most recently sort of heard one in Melodifestivalen, and we do know there is a certain amount of recency yes. bias in yes. these things. But it is impressive that that's the one that went straight to number one.
And an interesting thing with Medina is also they famously were in Melodifestivalen 2 years ago when Cornelia won. There's a contest called Second Chance where fans send in one song from each country. So each country send in another song that it doesn't have to be the second one, but it's like another song get a second chance that was in competing.
And this is not just Melodifestivalen. You're talking about the whole of Europe.
The whole of Europe. Yeah, all European fans yeah. that have a... of course, they need to have a selection. So it's not like UK or whatever that just pick a song. They don't have another second one, so they can't send something in. But if you have like a selection process, yeah. you have a whatever. So Sweden sent in Medina and we won for Inidimman. People are like starving for some Swedish, something happy. So in many ways, I think Medina would be a great thing for us to send. But I don't think in a million years. Now, of course, watching Spotify, I might change that opinion a bit. But I never thought, I mean, also, it was very close. They were third on Saturday.
Yeah.
So if you can't even win your own semi-final, it can be tricky to goop out everybody else on
yeah.
Saturday.
Yeah.
So yeah, but yeah, I would love Medina to win.
Let's talk a little bit about their song then, because we could play a clip, but we've got too much to talk about today to be messing around with song clips. So you can listen to this yourself.
Yes.
This is a safe episode for people who don't want to hear the songs. it's like a football anthem. Yep. It's the best way to describe it. Mm. The song they had 2 years ago was very anthemic. So they just have this very easy to sing along chorus, you know, very... you know, just each beat is a syllable kind of sound. But interestingly, this one, it was a combination of three languages.
Yep.
So there was Spanish, Swedish, and French.
I don't even remember.
Yeah, there was another language in there. Just very...
I don't know languages.
Feel good.
No, it's Spanish, of course.
Spanish, okay. Very feel-good music, very summer tune. You're going to hear this a lot at barbecues or, you know, if you're drinking outside of a bar in Sweden this summer on a day like today, we've suddenly got some sun out of nowhere. Yeah. You're going to hear this a lot. And I don't think you'll mind, you know. I think by the end of the summer you might be bored of it, but it's a perfectly good summer song.
Yep. I think they call the music hafla music because hafla is party in Arabic. So it's a combination of loads of different like genres of music that they feel are like their thing too. Mm. So yeah.
So let's move on.
Yep.
And talk about some of the other songs from week 5. Mm-hmm. I first want to talk about Elektra.
Okay.
Sure. Because to me this was the most interesting entry this year.
Okay. Oh, that's fun.
So for those who don't know, and this is my very ignorant place coming from, we talked previously about how I cannot watch Drag Race because I will get addicted, but I do know that Elektra is from Drag Race.
Yep.
I watched the QX Awards.
Yep.
So I know Elektra has won Song of the Year for another song that yep. she did. Do yes. you use she when talking about Elektra and he?
Yes, exactly. Okay. She Elektra, he when you talk about Robin.
Robin, yes, yep. is the artist.
The man behind it.
The man behind it, yes. All great women have a strong man behind
sometimes inside them.
Mm. Mm. So, Elektra, with a politically charged song, yeah. I guess you would say, called Baname or Ban Me. And that's not the Korean food Ban Me. That's Ban Me as in people banning, you know, story time and these sorts of things.
I don't think it's that ban. Baname is more like something else.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Okay, that's how I'd interpreted it.
It was a nice interpretation. I don't know if that was intentional or not, but I think uh-huh. Baname is something, I mean, that's more of an expression that you use here. It's hard to explain, like, it's more like Nuskoja, Baname, do this and this. Like, I'm really going to do this, or now it's time, I mean, yeah.
I'd completely misinterpreted then. I thought it was a song about, because, you know, drag artists doing story time is getting banned around the world. And even, sadly, in progressive Sweden, there are parts of the country where they are cracking down on this stuff.
No, it's actually not that. But, I mean, the content in the song was a bit like, we have all rights to be here and things like that. But that is something else. And it's also, it's Skånska, which is the part of Sweden she comes from. It's also a spin of the two other songs that she done, who's been in. So, yeah, I think at some point she needs to find another. So, yeah.
Now, interesting, I say interesting song, because I liked what I thought was the meaning behind it, but clearly my Swedish isn't good enough to actually understand these things. And also, Skånsk is very, very difficult to understand as a non-native Swedish speaker. But the song is bad, and Elektra can't sing. Is that fair to say?
It's fair to say that she can't sing, but she's not singing anyway. She's speaking.
I mean, there's a lot of spoken word.
She's spoken word. Yeah. And with that said, I think she's great on spoken word kind of thing, because it's on tune, the spoken word, which is not really easy to do. Like, what I mean, you can't sing is that you shouldn't sing, if you understand what I mean. So not starting singing.
So it turns out I don't know enough Swedish to understand Swedish. Here I am every week saying we need more songs in Swedish, and then we get one and I don't understand it. So
I think it was a nice interpretation anyway. I think he would be happy with that.
Well, like you said, you don't know what half the songs mean in Croatian, and you put your own interpretation on.
Exactly.
Here I am.
Yep. You know, I'm ignorant. All for that.
Yeah,
I'm brilliant. All for that. Elektra came last, maybe we should say.
Yes, Elektra came last. In my notes here, I wrote, it's like a more camp Gunilla. It didn't feel like, you know, it was there to win, but she was just there to make, I guess, a statement.
Yeah.
And there was literal balloon waving. Like, yeah, that's what it was there for. It was waving the balloons.
Yep.
Moving on. So the two songs that went to Second Chance from this week, we need to talk about them both for a couple of important reasons. Let's start with Jay Smith.
Mm-hmm.
Anything you want to say before I...
I mean, I can say that, I mean, he was from Idol. He won Idol in 2010, which was a bit of like the biggest, like the end of an era for like when Idol was really big in Sweden. Because after that, they did a pause for a year. They did X Factor. That was a complete flop. They brought it all back and nobody was really watching it.
Yeah.
He's one of the persons that people remember, like one of the winners. But that's it. His half-sister is called Maria Smith, and she's in a group called Smith & Tell, who are quite big here in Sweden, like very radio-friendly pop country rock. Smith & Tell are also the songwriters of this song, but this was more of a like Americana kind of country than they usually do.
Mm.
Very, very radio-friendly thing. So two things I can say shortly about it. One, I don't like it.
Mm.
Two, it's probably the song that's most on trend this year. And I don't think they intended it, that was probably not the intention. But right now, country is like, because of Beyoncé, of course, and other things, exploding all over the world. So this song and Gunilla was probably the most on trend, if you look like that. Yeah. So I mean, that's the only thing I want to say. I don't want to get, but I was very, very angry with this. And it's not like I didn't see it coming, because I know people love him.
Well, let's save your anger to talk about what happened with Second Chance. But first, let's just talk about the songs. So for those who haven't heard it, this is a shit Nickelback, a shittleback, if you will. The song's called Back to My Roots.
Yep.
Which, for a man from Sweden, your roots, sorry, where? Which part of Tennessee are you from? Why are you singing Western music? What have I missed here? And it's in English. Your roots are in England, are they?
I think a lot of people identify with that. Always been like that in Sweden. Country has been huge here since like I was a kid. It's very, very, very big here.
Sure. Sure, absolutely. Be like, I like country songs. Don't call it your roots. Yeah, and then the other thing about him, I don't know anything about this chap, but what I did see is, so what they did this week on Melody Festivalen was between the songs, the so-called postcards, they had all of the artists sat around in what looked like an AA meeting.
Yeah, something like that.
Talking, you know, about different things. And whenever any of the other artists were talking, Jay Smith could not control his disdain for them.
Controller.
He looked like he hated every single one of them. And I don't want to project here, but he looked like he really hated Robin, who, you know, and then Robin was talking about his personality, stage persona, Elektra, and he was, you know, he sort of went into character a little bit, and it's very obviously over the top drag queen-esque. And this guy looked like he was ready to throw fists. I don't know if I'm projecting onto him, but I mean, a guy who sings country music calls it his roots. Yeah, I don't, nothing good here from me. I didn't like anything about this.
Nope, me neither. It's not the thing. With that said, from the first time I heard it, I was like, this probably going to be in the final.
Right. Mm. So the other song that went to Second Chance. Jesus.
Yeah.
I have not written down.
Light. And it's weird that you don't remember that, because that was like the only thing she sang for a very long time.
So from the same songwriters as Denmark's winner this year.
Or not really, but the same songwriting team, I would say. It's like the same, they are friends.
Mm. Right. So Denmark's song, the chorus goes sand. And this one goes light. Right. Mm. Great stuff.
Yeah.
Thrillers. Can't wait for next year.
I hate this song, actually. It's like it's ice white gospel. Mm. No, I'm not going to throw any shade on this woman, Annika Vicky Halde, because she sang the shit out of this song.
Oh, yeah.
I was like saying, if she doesn't go to the final, I hope somebody write a good song for her next year, because this woman can sing. Yep. I think most people voted for her also because she was amazing in her postcard. Like the thing they did before the song, she was so lovely and you just wanted to like hug her and vote for her.
Yeah.
So that was, yeah. So when I went into this, I was like, okay, Jay Smith's going to the final. But after the week had gone, I was like, okay, Annika Vicky Halde is going to the final, because I was like thinking one of these songs will be in the final with Fröken Snusk. That was my thing. We will soon come to that.
Yeah.
So I was like, so starting with Jay Smith and Fröken Snusk and ending with predicting Annika and Fröken Snusk in the end, because I'm like, yeah, people will fall for that super hard. And they did. I mean, it was very close that she beat Medina. She was the closest third place during the whole 5 weeks.
I completely agree. She can sing. We were saying this in our chat group at the time. It's like, what a voice. A really, really powerful, really good, great tone. The song is just super, super bland.
Yes.
White rice.
Yeah. Yeah.
So let's talk about why you have one of the highest read articles on QX, because you're really angry, Ken. Why are you so angry?
I don't know if this was very... I mean, can I just make one statement before I need to calm down. I'm just going to highlight that one of the biggest songwriters in Melodifestivalen history, like new Melodifestivalen since 2002, got rewarded with an achievement award, the new Melodifestivalen Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
And I just want to put it in there because I adore this man, Fredrik Kjempe, and the songs that he's written. He won 4 times. This year he wrote Samir and Victor, maybe not his greatest moment, but he hasn't been doing things with this one for a while. He's writing musicals right now. He has some of the biggest musical in Sweden right now is written by him. It's called Änglagård. He's such an amazing person. I just want to highlight that. And if you want to check out some good and old Melodifestivalen songs and you're new to this, just search for Fredrik Kjempe songs and you will get a shitload of different things.
His induction into the Hall of Fame was really beautiful. They had a huge, huge choir singing all manner of songs, including at least one song that he's written that I recognized. It was just a beautiful medley and really well sung, obviously, because it was a big professional choir. And it was very, very moving. And I don't know the guy, so I was touched.
Yep. And in the end, Sanna Nielsen came in, who, of course, one of the biggest stars, except Mons, I guess. Mons and Sanna are one of the biggest, and Erik Sade that he'd been writing for before. Yeah, it was just a lovely moment. So now I've been nice for a while. Now I'm going to get angry.
Well, before you get angry, before Sanna came in, there was another singer. And I said to you, where have they been hiding the Swedish Adele? Yeah. Her voice.
Kristina Amparo, yes.
Just amazing.
That song didn't go to the final. It didn't even go to Anna Chansen when it was there. It's a beautiful song called I See You with Kristina Amparo. Check that out if you want.
I See You, intensive care unit.
Nope.
Okay.
Yeah. I See You as I See You.
Oh, I See You.
I See You.
As like
I
the that. Avatar.
Yeah, it was a bit ruined by somebody who wanted to do like a very weird staging of it. And it didn't really go well. Not when you're like a new face that she was back then. So, yeah.
She should come back with another song because that voice, oh my. Anyway, so why are you so angry, Ken? Tell the people.
So, some history here. For years, there have been something called Andra Chansen. So it's famously like 2 songs go direct to the final every week, and then 2 of them go to a
second chance.
Second chance.
Yes.
They get the second chance. Before, when it was just 4 weeks, the 5th week was like they made a separate final with these 8 songs.
They all performed again.
Yeah. Yeah. They performed again, and they have switched the format a lot of times during the years because they always lose viewers, of course, because it's old things that people already voted away that's going to be there again. So yeah, sure, people are not as interested in it. So now they tried something new, like they added 30 minutes after the 90 minutes. And we were supposed to vote for all the songs from last week coming back and also two of this week's songs.
Yeah.
And as I just said, people don't want to watch music that they have voted away. But two of the songs, obviously, they have almost not voted away because they were have already performed like 30 minutes before.
Yep.
They just lost out to Medina and Marcus and Martinus by really close. So, of course, people continued voting for them. So what happened was that we got four songs from
Week five.
So the, Annika and Jay that we just spoke about a little bit before. So they went in there and I was so... I mean, as I said, I predicted that one of them probably should be there for the same reason that both of them went there because people were attached to them. The same viewers that were attached to them some minutes before are now going to vote for them. But to not have Fröken Snusk there, and you don't have to be a fan of Fröken Snusk. You don't even have to like a song. But if you have a song that's been number one in Sweden for 3 weeks and it's in the competition and don't have it in the final, then there's something really wrong about this format. And the thing is, it's not just this who is wrong. Everything with the voting system is wrong. And nobody talks about it because people don't understand it. So these age groups, the first song that goes every week doesn't consider age groups. It's just the one that gets the number of votes. But then it's these groups that basically two people in one age group could have the same power as 1 million people in another age group.
Yeah.
Which is completely crazy because we're sending this to a contest who doesn't have this system. And also I've been against this from day one. The app, of course, the app is very nice. The people, SVT want people to be engaged in the semifinals. You can vote for all the songs. You can give all songs 5 stars or hearts, hearts,
yeah.
Which kids obviously do because they just do things. They do like, oh, that got 5, that got 4, that got 4, that got 5, that got 3, that got 4. Like, that's how you do it. You need people to pick one song.
Yeah.
And I can have this in the weeks that we've had now, because, I mean, yeah, sure, it's TV, it's interesting with this voting, it makes a bit more excitement. But now we're going into the final, and we keep these effing groups. And the only thing you want people to do in the final on Saturday, and I hope everybody listening to this podcast who are going to vote are doing this, you're going to pick your winner to Eurovision. That's it. You give that song 5 votes, and that's it. You don't go through all the songs like, I like this, these are my 2 fives, these are my 1 4. You don't know. That's not what we're doing. We're picking one song. So there should be, as they do in Norway, it's 1 vote that you pick you put on your winner, and that's it.
Yeah.
And that also makes it completely unpredictable. You can't pick when you don't have a Loreen like we do this year. I have no idea because all the votes from the people will be almost the same.
Yeah.
And yeah.
We'll get into the actual finals in a second. So let me just give you my perspective as a nouveau Euro, a nouveau Melo. This was such a fucking anticlimax.
Yeah, I know.
Every week it's like, these two are going straight to the final. These two are going to come back for a second chance. And you're like, oh, who could it be? And then we shit on Norway for picking the songs every week that were 4th, 5th, and 6th. They went to the final.
Yep.
And we're like, oh, can Norwegians not remember more than 3 songs at a time? And then what happened? Week 5, the 2 songs that go to second chance, they're the ones that get voted through. And that's not to touch on the crappy voting system that, you know, they're like, oh, here's a pot of 1,000 points and here's another pot of 1,000 points and we're going to do this and it's proportional. It's like, no, none of this makes any sense.
Nope.
And I worked as a data analyst and it doesn't make sense to me. So it's a stupid system and we should talk about it. But then the other thing is just the whole concept of second chance is stupid.
Yep.
And it's so Swedish. Like, we love recycling here. You got to sort your plastic and your cardboard and your shit songs, and they've all got to get recycled for more content. And it's like, no. Let's just vote through the winners, the best songs, and vote through 1 from each week. Like, why do we need 2? Like, okay, fine.
We need
2.
A final.
Yeah, sure.
So I'm going to say vote 3 because we need 12 songs in a final because that's a night. And a lot of people just go there and watch the final.
Okay.
So let's have the 12 best songs if we're going to have 30 songs.
4 weeks of 6 or 7 or 8 songs, 3 go through each week. Then we have 12 songs in the final.
That's fine.
Or 9.
Because, I mean, the second chance now is because some songs, I mean, not all songs in the final need to be there to win. It's not to be a good TV show. So second chance was there to have the hits back. Like the songs that we missed that became hits anyway, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
And then we just shit on it. We don't do that. We don't do Scarlett. We don't do Gunilla. And we obviously don't do Fröken Snusk. The songs that been like the talks of town, blah, blah, blah. Of course, these are going to be there just to be like draw people in. That's the whole thing.
Shall we give a minute to Fröken Snusk to talk about why we haven't talked about her? And
we talked a lot about her, but you kept it away.
We had, in the week that Frequencies was in, week two, we had an 8-minute conversation about the song in which I wholeheartedly, the same that I talked about Lia Larsson, and I very wholeheartedly said, this is the sort of song I want to send because it's very relevant, it's very Swedish, it's very culturally now. I want to send this. And I said all of that for Frökensnusk. And then the second we stopped recording, Ken said, oh, you know that there's all these controversies around this person. And then obviously I read into some of them. And I felt utterly disgusted when I was editing the episode that I'd said such nice things, because these two things I can't hold these two ideas, that this is someone I want to send to Eurovision, but also is potentially a horrible bigot. So yeah, we cut it all out. And I'm not sad that Frökensnusk isn't in the final. I do completely agree with everything you said, that what's the point of a second chance if you don't send the hit through? I get that, but I'm not sad to see the back of her from Melodifestivalen. Permeating Swedish culture is another thing. Yeah.
Yeah. I think there's no problem with her. I mean, the whole concept is a bit weird, and it's like, it's not created by her, it's created by another man who owns the rights to it, and she's just the singer of it. I mean,
just the face of it. And you say face because you can't
see
it. Yeah,
but now he's not involved. Of course, he's involved in this in some way, but he's not there now. They're taking him away from this. So I think you can, I can wholeheartedly stand by her, that I want her in the final. And I think the song is quite nice. I was so angry. It's just like, you can't have hits. I mean, why are we doing this if it's not to produce hits? Because we obviously not want to win Eurovision. So why are we doing it then? Like, half-ass other songs going into the final.
Yeah, okay. So let's talk about the final.
Yeah.
Because it's going to be this week. And obviously we'll do an episode when we know who won next week. But let's talk about the songs in the final. I'm gonna give you my top three.
Yep.
You asked me for a top five. And I can genuinely not endorse five of these songs. Mm. I can endorse three of them.
Yeah, okay.
Can you guess which three?
No, not really. Would you? Yeah, Cassiopeia, of course.
That's my number one.
Probably Smash Into Pieces because it's rock. Okay, that's fine at least.
So, Dotter and Maria.
Okay. Mm.
So, number one, Kazi, because if we're not trying to win this year, this is just a brilliant song to send. It's, you know, it's got a nice vibe. It's got a nice message. It's beautifully staged. It just has all of the things that I like about, you know, this contest. I think it's just a great all-round Eurovision song. I'd be happy for it to represent Sweden. So, that's my number one. Mm. I'd say Maria is my number two because you've really won me over since, was that week one?
Week two. In Gothenburg.
Yeah, you've really won me over because, yeah, as you said, women don't get these house beats. And so through doing this podcast and looking at previous years of Mello, she's doing it for the girls, like absolutely. Like it's a great, this is marks a change. I think it's great. And when we listened back in the week five recap, it is actually the one song that stood out as like, oh shit, that's a hit. Mm-hmm. Kazi's song speaks to me, but Maria's song is like, that's a winner. Mm. And then Dotter, because I love the song. You know, I feel like, you know, I she can't do any wrong in my eyes, even though it was a weak performance because she was ill. But yeah, just a great song. Mm. And then if you put a gun to my head, fine, Liamo and Liamo 2. What's his name? Saucy Danny.
Dennis Acedo.
Yeah, but neither of them are... I can't wholeheartedly endorse either of those songs because they're just so done to death. Those other three, these represent new territory, you know, like a woman doing a house beat. Cassiopeia with a weird, quirky indie rock. Dotter doing Dotter things, you know, like they're interesting. Liamo, I'm sure he's a really nice guy, like you said, but that song is so done to death. Cyprus last year, and there's probably 10 other examples you can think of. And then Danny, man, yeah. No, it's not 2012. So that's my top 3/5.
Nice.
And I'll tell you why Smash Into Pieces aren't there, because this song was just so weak.
Yeah,
like, I remember, don't do the same thing again.
Yeah.
It's
just my prejudice of you as a white man.
Exactly. Yeah. That's me, a white man through and through. And here's the thing. Now that we've heard other countries, Norway's rock song is better. Mm. Croatia's rock song is better. Why would we send the worst rock song of the year? Like, don't do it.
No, we won't.
Yeah.
I can tell you that. That won't happen. Yeah. At least I know so much about this contest. But I have a very hard time to predict the winner. Of course, the easiest way is to say Marcus and Martinus. And if I get a gun to my head, that's what I'm going to say. I will say that Danny, two things there. First, when I started to listen to all the songs in the final, it's not all, I took away like five of them. I'm not going to name them, but for obvious reason. I start to get a bit like close to the Danny song anyway. I agree with everything said, but I think I was so underwhelmed what he did on stage. I also thought the song was a bit bad. The song, it's old, but it makes me happy when I listen to it. So, I mean, and I think if there's nothing else, people will vote for him because people love him. Probably more than Marcus and Martinus. Like, in the different age groups,
yeah,
he will be the biggest one. So if, sure. if you want me to, I don't know if you want me to predict things here now, if you want to hear my favorites.
No, I want your top five. You know, the odds are the odds. What's your top five?
Yeah, so my top five, number one, or split number one.
Can I guess?
I can guess.
Maria.
Yes, and yeah. Jacqueline.
Oh, okay, yeah, yeah.
Two women doing modern dance pop, like that's my okay. that's my thing.
Yeah.
So I mean it's not even a question that both of them are like I really want them. Then probably Cassie, like on a personal perspective, because I love her and the music she does. And then I guess it's Danny or Marcus and Martinus after that, just for. I mean, I don't hate the kind of music. It's like the music I used to listen to a lot, and it's pop songs and yeah. And then you have Dotter and Medina after that, and then the rest I don't even want to talk about.
Okay.
So, so I think I got all of them. Yeah, that's where I am. I really like Dotter also, but it just it lost me now when I'm listening to it. It's just like not the one I pick up. But I mean, so Maria and Jacqueline. Maria was a bit of a sleeper, I guess. I had a bit forgotten about it since you haven't been able to hear it for a month. Mm. Of course, I remember that I liked it, but I mean, I couldn't watch it anywhere.
Yeah.
So when it came on Spotify like Sunday, I'm like, wow, gee, I really, really like this. And you are also very much on spot, like, The European fans, which you represent in a bit here in this room, they also have Maria as their number one. All the Brits I know mm-hmm. have, like the British Eurovision fans, I they mean, have
we,
Maria.
We did coin the term girl power. I don't know if you remember that, but the Spice Girls were a thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, brilliant. Okay, so if let's say I get my way and Kazi goes through, can she win the whole thing? I don't think so, but nope. I don't think that's the point. I just think it's a nice song.
Yeah.
If you get your way and let's say Maria goes through, can she win the whole thing?
I don't think anything in our Swedish final can win Eurovision.
Okay.
Nothing there can win. And it's a combination of the songs are not strong enough and we're in Sweden. I mean,
yeah.
nobody wins again nowadays. I mean, that happened Ireland in the 90s, like when they were the only person singing, when they were the only country singing in English.
That was a question I had here, was a trivia question for one day when it came up and now it's come up. Have any countries won twice in a row?
Oh, they won three times in a row, baby. They won 3 years in a row.
Yeah.
They had 1 year break when Norway won.
Okay.
With a song without any words.
Ah.
Mm. But then Ireland come back. You can't get me started how much I hated that Ireland won so many times in the 90s. I mean, the songs, the last win they had was like, what the F is going on? That's like...
So yes, you answered that question. Thank you. Your trivia once again. Yeah, so have any country other than Ireland won twice?
Yes. Israel won twice, 78, 79. Mm-hmm. So they won at home. I mean, also, I mean, old Eurovision. I'm supposed to be the super professor of Eurovision here, but in the beginning where there were basically 10 countries, I know that some of them probably won. I know Spain won twice in a row because... In Spain, in 69, Franco was there. Four songs won, famously, the same year. Because they didn't have like a split system. What do we do if four songs end up on the same point?
Yeah.
Yeah. So they, all of them won. So Spain won at home.
Oh, that's nice.
Again. Yeah. So, and after that, I know like the year after Sweden wasn't there, there were a lot of countries not just like, why are we even doing this if four songs can win? So I know there were headlines in Sweden like, this year is the last Eurovision.
Mm. Okay, brilliant. So anything else to say about Melody Festival and before we move on?
No, I mean, at least it's going to be an exciting final, I guess, because we don't have like a
clear
certified winner.
Yeah.
It will be very interesting to see how Europe will vote because we have the international juries coming and picking a winner. So that's hard to predict. And that's usually like why you can't say like if it was just the Swedish people, I could safely rank them and have like two or three wrongs, I think.
Yeah.
But with this, I mean, suddenly, like 2 years ago, they gave Liam a lot of things. Last year, I think they gave a lot of things to Paul Ray, like songs that Swedish public doesn't really do. I mean, UK famously always vote on something that nobody else likes.
Right.
So, yeah.
Well, we do have great taste.
Call it what you like.
Yes. Moving on.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to throw into this Mellow episode one finalist song from another country. And I think, Ken, we should look at the Netherlands.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Because I'm very excited to talk about this song with you.
Mm-hmm.
So I have not seen the video yet. I've only heard the song. So I'm very excited to watch the video for the first time.
I will also say, like, before we listen to this, that just as a, before you guys also hear it, like a snippet of it, it's an enormous hit right now. Especially right. It have more than 1 million streams a day.
It's I'm half like, of those streams. Yeah. I can tell you that much.
It's a huge hit in Netherlands, in Belgium. It's on the world charts of Spotify. It's really going wow. very well for them.
So let's just do a quick recap. Netherlands. I know that they had De Dipte 2 years ago, which is one of my all-time favorite. Last year, oh, that was a bad song.
Yeah,
Burning Daylight. I mean, it's a perfectly fine song on recording, but they couldn't sing it live. They had to change the key of it. It was just, it was a whole mess. But if you haven't heard De Dipte from 2022, I cannot recommend enough that you go immediately after this episode and listen to that by an artist called S10. Just a beautiful song, sung in Dutch.
I mean, Netherlands is a quite interesting thing because, I mean, between 2005 and 2012, they failed to qualify. They went in the final. And then they started to send more of like famous, like Anouk, who was like a famous artist in Netherlands. And it just turned around. And then, of course, they famously won in 2019 and was supposed to have it during the pandemic.
Yes, so their winner in 2019, Duncan Lawrence. This is the year that I really started watching yep. properly with you. That's a great song. That's a Sad Girl song. I mean,
yep, yeah, it is. It's also, if you haven't listened, Country, the Common Linnets in 2014, they came second with that. That's an, also an amazing song, amazing staging,
yeah,
where everything is aligned.
Now, controversially, looking at Netherlands on the wiki page, a lot of songs in English. Mm-hmm. Now, Dutch, I would say, similar to Danish, is not a song that I think is particularly pretty to listen to. However, De Dipte was all in Dutch, and I really like that. This year's song, Europapa, by Joost, is mostly sung in Dutch. There's a couple of lines of other, like they say, fish and chips and escargot.
Yeah, a lot of things, yeah. Mm.
So, yeah, but mostly in Dutch. It really adds to the vibe of the song, in my opinion, the fact that it is in Dutch, which is such a gross language, in my opinion. All of these opinions are my own and not the opinion of the Deskmates podcast.
No, it's not. No.
Now. Mm-hmm. Before we play it, I think should we contextualize this for people or should we just play it? Well, actually, what I'm going to say is, so I haven't seen the video before, so we're going to watch it, but I'm actually going to play at least two clips from this song in the podcast because you have to hear two distinct parts of the song and they don't happen right next to each other. So yeah, this is the first part. I obviously love this, and you know that I would. Is this the Brit in me?
And the common man in you.
The everyman.
The everyman.
Yeah.
The everyman of Europe.
Yeah.
You're the Europapa.
I am the Europapa.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
You are.
I'm middle of Europe, middle of the road. It's just okay. So as a man in my 30s, my formative years were in the 90s, and this is so much nostalgia. Like, we were really critical of Norway with a lot of these samey techno 90s inspired songs. But how can I justify my hypocrisy here? I think it's just because it's in Dutch. I think that's the difference. All of those Norwegian songs were in English. If they'd been in Norwegian, maybe I'd feel differently about them. But this just feels so like authentic to this dude who looks like Windows 95 man. Yeah, just, I love it. I really do. And then let's get to the bit that really... Welcome in Europa, jongen!
Too unlimited.
Yeah, just brilliant. Just like... just put that in my veins and pump me full of that nostalgia, baby. I love this. So just brilliant.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'll tell you why I love it. Because I'm not Dutch, so I don't care that this isn't going to win Eurovision. Like,
of course it will.
You think this is going to win?
It's going to be in top, at least.
Sure. I think it could come top 10, but I don't think it's going to win.
No, it's not going to win because the jury is going to kill it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's why they're there.
Yeah.
But it's obviously going to get most votes by the public, I guess.
Possibly.
Because they are like you.
Yeah. Yeah, but I mean, so let's go back to our analogy. This year, you're either a Lorraine or a Carrier.
This is not a Lorraine.
Oh, really? Yeah, well, this is Lorraine in the rave remix, like I played to you in a previous episode.
Yeah.
This is the sort of song you hear when you're at a fairground and someone is scream if you want to go faster. So this is a carrier, and I think this is a well-done carrier. It doesn't have, obviously, the metal element like the Croatian song, but just brilliant. Talk about soul in songs. Talk about not putting soul into songs like Sweden is not doing. This man is pouring his heart out, and his heart is just cheesy 90s, like hard house.
It's a tribute to his father, he says.
Okay.
Don't ask, I don't know why.
Now, we chose Logo for this podcast before, obviously, we started the podcast, so well before we heard the song. But he is wearing a blue suit with gold stars on, because obviously it's representing the European Union flag, which I guess we were referencing. So I really feel an affinity to Joost Klein.
Mm-hmm. I'm trying to read up a little bit about him, but nothing new here.
I mean, if it turns out he's a massive bigot and a racist, then clearly I'll disown him. But right now, just love it.
Who knows? I don't think,
What was the song with the five violin playing blonde women in the middle?
Yeah.
Right? That's the kind of song that in the UK...
Moldavia.
Yeah, we would make fun of. Moldova.
Moldova.
We would make fun of in the UK. Moldova. We'd be like, this Eurovision is crap. It's a crap contest full of crap songs. This is a crap song, but it's got its tongue firmly in its cheek. It's like it's self-aware.
This is exactly what UK likes in this show.
So predictable.
Yeah, I mean this is what if we had it in Sweden, this is 12 points from the UK. Like this is exactly what you guys want from Eurovision.
Yeah, but we didn't have anything like this year.
No.
We had two Ipadunk songs.
No. Of course, we need more shit like this in Melodifestivalen, and I'm not saying that. And I mean, he's huge in the Netherlands. It's an enormous hit there right now, and that's right. What I want. I mean, it's not Windows 95, man. I'm sorry, Finland. I'm getting back to you all the time, but this is like he's like a huge star. He's doing this kind of shit take kind of 90s songs. He's doing this character, whatever. So even if I hate that Eurovision is going back to this, because this was the beginning of the noughties when we had this, because the more we give the voting audience power, like now it's just the audience, the viewers voting in the semifinals.
Yeah.
We will get more and more of this. That's like nothing to have to do with music. It's just like to catch the viewers and make them be like, this contest is so ridiculous. And then they vote for it.
Okay, counterpoint. I will concede what you're saying about Windows 95, man. It's more the narrative than the song. This is actually a song. Like in that, okay, it's not a song for like people who like music. But it's a song. You could dance to this. You could sing along to it. Come on.
It's not a song for people who like music.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's not a song for people that will sit with a cigar and listen to like the Carpenters on vinyl.
But that's not me neither.
Sure.
if this is what people want, I can just retire and get old again. Like, I mean, I'm obviously too old for this shit. It's like 20-year cycle here. It's coming back.
If this wins, then yeah, I accept what you're saying. But this won't win.
It won't win because the Euros won't vote for it. And the Netherlands just won. I mean, not just, but it's like
2019.
Yeah, five years ago. So, no, but it might be, it's top five.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, that seems like a good place to end on a high note.
Yeah.
So, as always, thank you so much for listening. If you want to get involved in the conversation, please feel free to DM us on Instagram, or you can email us at deskmates@gmail.com, or you can reply directly in the Spotify app under the episode. So until next time.
Meow cat, please meow back.
Please meow back. Bye-bye.
Bye.